powerful song. And hopefully that song has given you some encouragement. Hopefully this microphone won't discourage you. I don't know what I'm doing wrong. Maybe one of the sound guys can come up. I don't know.
Maybe a lid there.
Is it something I'm doing, or are we good?
You should be good.
All right, cool.
Hey, Chase.
We're family. We'll figure it out. We good, sound team up there? We're good? All right, cool. Hey, open up your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Acts. You know, God communicates in very different ways, doesn't he? He uses poems, prophecies, parables. God uses all kind of methods to get his message across. This morning, we're going to use a little bit of different method. Just not going to be just me kind of giving kind of just a sermon, but we're trying to tell a story. A story that we think is encouraging to you. A story that has unfolded over time, and we're pretty sure that about 90% of you don't know anything about it. But it involves our congregation. And it's a story that's inspiring. A story that is kind of reminiscent a little bit of a story I want to read that's very familiar to many of us. And I want to read this passage. I want to read it in the New Revised Standard Version, a little different. And I hope that just hearing God's word can encourage you. The themes that come out of this passage, we hope that you'll see unfolding in the story that we want to tell this morning. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. Then an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home. Seated in his chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. And he asked, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He replied, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of scripture that he was reading was this. "Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter. And like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this, about himself or about someone else?" Then Philip began to speak. And starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "Look, here's water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop. And both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he was passing through that region, he proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. When I meditated on this scripture this week, because I was very familiar with it, so I was just, "God, show me something, you know, just keep teaching me," right? And what I really appreciated was how the Spirit said, the angel said, you know, "Hey, get up and go." And the Bible records that Philip got up and went.
That's right.
And I said, you know, to me, that's an attentiveness to the Spirit, first of all. And I want that in my life on a daily basis. And I want all of us to have that. How attentive are you even if the Spirit wanted to tell you something? Or are you too busy looking at your phone? Right? So that attentiveness to the Spirit, and just that Spirit said go, he got up and went. And I hope that can describe those of us who consider ourselves members of North River. And some of us are visiting. We're just checking out Christianity, kind of kicking the tires spiritually. And for those of you, I say, do you have the humility to say, even if you know the Bible, you know what, I'm willing to be guided. And I love those elements about this passage. And so, like I said, we're going to tell a story that has some of these elements in it, but it's a true story. This ain't no once upon a time in a land far away. Just like this story was true.
That's right.
That we just read, this happened, these are real people. The story you're going to hear about is true, and it's real. And it's the Spirit-moving people, and they got up and went. And so I'm going to let Lynn kind of set the stage for what we're going to hear a little bit more.
All right. Can you hear me? Good morning. So as many of us know, 2020 was not the easiest year. And I remember sitting around the house thinking, how am I supposed to reach out to people when I'm quarantined? And I kept thinking about, wow, this is intense. But then I started thinking about Paul and how powerful and effective he was while he was in jail and how he said that God's word is not chained. So I started asking God, show me what it means that your word is not chained, that it's not quarantined. Please just show me. And he did. Soon after that, I got a call from a dear friend of mine, Christina Barlow. Christina had been a disciple. I studied with her in the 90s. She'd been a disciple 18 years, loved God fiercely. And then, like with many of us, life hit, right? And disillusionment. She was single, wasn't married, disappointment, got mad at God, and she walked away from God for 8 or 9 years. And I get a phone call from Christina, and Christina says to me, I'm done. I don't want to live without God. I miss God in my life, and I need God back. Said, I'm dating someone, and we are hurting each other left and right. We can't do this without God. And I also share my faith like crazy because I know the answer is God. And so I've got all these friends that need God. And so we started a study, and it was called 6 Days with Jesus. She invited friends, and in 24 hours, 12 of her friends signed up, wanting to hear about Jesus. And over a series of 6 weeks, once a week on Zoom, we studied Jesus. And I literally got to share the good news about Jesus. Amen. And he walked out of the pages of this book,
right,
through that Zoom call, into the hearts of those women, completely unchained, unleashed, completely unquarantined. And a few weeks later, two of them had become disciples, and Christina had gotten restored. But that's just the beginning of the story. That started a series of events, and we're going to let them tell the story.
Go ahead.
We want to introduce some great friends of ours from the Ellicottville area of New York. And you guys want to say hello to North River?
Hi.
Hey, North River. And we just want to get right into their stories. Why don't we turn it over to Christina?
So I'm so excited to share about everything that's happening here in Western New York. In 1994, I was baptized in Connecticut, and I was in the church for 18 years and had an amazing experience. At the end of the 18 years, I was really struggling with trusting God, and I fell away from God and fell away from the church for 9 years. Last August, I was really struggling with my life, myself, so much pain, so much, I was in such despair. And I had a voice in my head that said, call Lynn Beatty and Lynn Ottenweiler now. And I decided to text her, and we talked, and my life began a road that has been such an amazing year. I can't even imagine a year later where my life is. I was given such grace and love from Lynn, from Mark, from the Bible Talk, from all of you at North River, but the space and time needed to connect with God and in the Word changed my life. It was very difficult to face betraying God. It was very difficult to accept God's love and God's grace, but he was powerful and he healed my heart. I stopped feeling pain, and I started having a joy again and a purpose. I knew that I was in my hometown and I knew I had a message to tell people. And here is part of the message right here. It is amazing to see what God's doing with our church here. And I have to share too, someone not on here is a best friend from 5 years old, who I have been reaching out to for 28 years. And she studied the Bible in Salt Lake City and got baptized. Amen. So I feel like my life has turned an amazing corner. God heard my heart. He heard my prayers. He sent me all the people that I needed to be encouraged, to be inspired, and all the scriptures and all the prayer times. And I have a vision again. I have a dream again. And I'm so excited to be with you guys sharing this. I thank you guys at North River because you have loved us. You've prayed for us. You've reached out to us. You've built relationships with us. And we want to just keep going and keep sharing our faith with people. And we know God is going to bring so many souls to Jesus. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Christina, and your faith. Thank you so much. Next, we have Bree.
Hi. I already know a few of you. I was down there in, I believe, June. So I know a few of you, but thank you so much for this opportunity. Yeah, I just, when Lynn told me that she wanted me to share just where I was when God found me and how I feel about seeing being saved, I was like, wow, how do I put this in words? But wow, when God found me, I was so broken, so insecure. And I was just really like looking for healing and love in so many different places. And I just never could find it. And I knew that I needed God. I didn't know how to get to him. And I wanted a deeper relationship with God. And I've always wanted to know him. And so when Christina reached out to me and she said, hey, like, Lynn wants to do this Bible study. Do you want in? I was like, yes, I want in. Absolutely. And from the first study, I just knew, I was like, this is what I've been searching for my entire life, my whole life. And I was moved to tears and I cried a lot. And I studied the Bible for 3 months and I got baptized on December 23rd. But wow, just how amazing it was for God to seek me out. And I feel so chosen by him and so loved, but he healed my heart. He healed my brokenness. He healed so much trauma. And I'm just so grateful. It's like he championed my heart. And I just, everything that I've always wanted, I found in him. And I just never knew that it was him that I was looking for. And I was looking for his heart. So I'm just so grateful. And I can see why the 12, there's my dogs. I can see why the 12 followed him to the ends of the earth. So I'm just so grateful for Jesus and he can heal anybody. Thank you so much.
That's right. Thank you. Thank you. Bill.
Hi, everybody. I'm Bill. I'm Bree's dad and Christina's husband now. So the year has been unbelievable for me. I told Mark I'd try not to cry, but it's hard not to, you know. I was looking for help, a change. And then Mark, he called me. Actually, Lynn called me first, but then I wanted nothing to do with it. But Mark, he just wouldn't stop. And I can't thank him enough for that. But when I was baptized, it changed my entire life. I mean, my daughter got baptized before me, but Christina, you know, she just loved me and she never let go. And it was just amazing. And I always tell everybody I can't describe how it feels to be forgiven.
Amen.
And baptized and a new life, but I thank you guys. You guys all prayed for me and you didn't even know me. You didn't even. So I thank you and never stop doing that. Please never stop doing that. You guys just, I love you so much. And if I can ever do anything for you, I will be there. But
thank you.
So, man, you're feeling some stuff here. Well, I mean, sure. I don't know, like, when you see that, man, like, what's in your heart? Like,
well, it's really interesting. I'd never met any of these people before. We studied with them over about 6 months, and I'd never met them face to face. And so I started studying with Bill. He shared a little bit, and he had a rough life. And all of his friends, and they all know that, but he was in law enforcement for about 30 years. He was an air marshal. He was a special ops person. After the sin study, I told him, I got to go lay down for a while. You know, it was pretty intense. And so after we'd studied forgiveness and basic things about salvation, I told him face-to-face over the phone, over the Zoom, that, Bill, you're getting close to being forgiven by God. And he sobbed. He didn't just weep. He sobbed. And then I realized that we all take forgiveness of sins for granted. And you need to thank God every day for forgiving your sins and for saving you, because he's saving you every day. Amen? And so we need to have the heart of Bill towards sin and toward forgiveness. I'm just telling you, these people are amazing. Jim, when we study with him, you'll meet him in a minute. He said, Mark, you just show me what the Bible says and I'll do it. And he was exactly right. Ginger, we studied with his wife. We were together. We studied forgiveness, and she stood up in front of everyone and said, I want to do this right now. And everybody went wild. I had to say, well, let me explain it a little bit more. She was just like the Ethiopian. Just exactly like that. And so let's have a few more people share, but we can learn a lot from these people. Amen? Let's listen to some more of them share.
Yeah, my name is Roxanne Spangler. I became a disciple while living in Kingsport, Tennessee in 1992. I had met and studied the Bible with Therese Cooper and Suzanne Carman, and was baptized in the Carman's house church at that time, and was so grateful being a struggling single mom and having a new purpose in my life, and having that connection, that new connection just totally changed my life. I remained a disciple for many years after that, and for various reasons, I left God and decided to move back home to Western New York, south of Buffalo. And, you know, just got really tired of stiff arming God. You know, my life had no purpose anymore. And I was lonely and discouraged and felt hopeless and suffering a lot of pain in so many different ways. And I was ready to make a change again and find my Lord that I had lost. So I had started praying and fasting, and about a month into that prayer and fasting and begging God, seeking him with all of my heart and remembering his promise that if we seek him with all of our heart, we'll find him. And he did, he proved to me that he was with me. And I get a phone call from Suzanne Carman, about a month into that, and she couldn't believe she had met disciples living 30 minutes from my home, and I just was blown away. I could not even speak. God totally rescued me again, and he not just rescued me twice in my life, he rescues me every single day.
Amen.
And I'm so grateful just for his love for me and for not giving up on me, even after I gave up on him. So, you know, if my story today can help anyone that's been in similar situations, you know, I know God will work in that.
Amen.
Thank you.
It's clear that God was looking for you like the lost coin and the lost son and the lost sheep. Yeah. Thank you, Roxanne. Yeah. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Jim and Ginger next. Thank you.
Hello, everybody at North River. We just, first and foremost, thank you for all the prayers that you've given us over this last year. It's been pretty amazing. The question is, how do I feel about the last year? Once I realized that it was part of God's plan, it's been an awesome journey. My knowledge of the Bible has increased so much, so much. The love, everything has just been amazing. This all started because we chose to do a Living Connected group in our home, which is part of the Believers Chapel Church up here. And it's just amazing the friends and everybody that we met along the way, the studies, and Bill and Christina came to the group, and it just, it excelled from there with Bree, and the knowledge and the love has just been wholeheartedly amazing. I did write stuff down to say, but I'm just, Bill got me started with this crying bit, so I'm just
forward and trying to cry it up there in Ellicottville.
The most important thing I can say is it's just amazing the love that I have for people in Georgia, Connecticut, New York City. There's so many disciples that just reached out and showed us love. Ginger and I were blessed to be baptized on May the 2nd of this year.
That's right.
Coming out of the water is just absolutely amazing. The freeness, the love, everything was washed away. And I never knew that at 53 years old. I didn't know what it meant, but now I do. Right. And life is so different. It's just truly amazing.
And Ginger, I remember when you jumped up at the point of learning about forgiveness of sins. Why don't you tell us a little about your story?
Yeah, I'm the direct disciple out of the group. I feel like I'm Tom Cruise in that movie saying, I want to know the truth.
Right, I remember that.
I met Christina. She changed my life. Studying the Bible changed my life. I knew who God was. I didn't know God. I didn't know God until God sent these people into my life and I studied the Bible with them. I was transformed by his word and by the love of other people.
That's right.
And Mark and Lynn, God sent them to Nicolai. They drove all the way up here. And we studied that weekend and it changed. I will never be the same. I did want to know the truth. Amen. I thought I knew the truth, but I didn't know anything.
Amen.
God, being baptized, I will never forget it. I remember the song that my husband and I danced to in our kitchen the morning that we were getting baptized. I mean, that is more special than the wedding song that we danced to. Being baptized, I feel free. I feel loved. I feel safe. I'm at peace. I'm transformed. I can't even explain to you. I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven. And I'm so ready to let him use me however he wants to use me. I've totally surrendered to him. It's an amazing love. And North River has become my new church family. I mean, I watch you online. I can't wait to go into the sanctuary and see what it really looks like in real life, you know? So I'm so excited about that. So I thank everyone for the prayers. I thank Mark and Lynn. They're just an amazing couple. Christina, this is what disciples.
Wow. I remember when you guys were telling me at the beginning, yeah, we're studying with some people in Ellicottville, New York. And I just remember doing what y'all would have done, the same thing. You Googled. I didn't know where that was.
Yeah, you have to Google it. It's south of Buffalo. You Google it,
and then you got
and you don't see it. Yeah, and you open it up, and you don't see it. And you open it up again, and you finally find it.
Yeah. So here we are in Georgia, quarantined, and you guys are these rogue radical Christians out there studying the Bible with people in New York. But it seems like, you know, obviously their lives are transformed, but I don't know, it seemed like there was some other transformation going on in your family group. I'm sure they were probably like, where's Ellicottville too?
Exactly. Yeah, it's amazing, really, what happened. You'll hear more about it in even a few minutes, but just we had no idea what we were doing. And I like to plan, kind of be systematic, methodical, and it's just totally out of control. I had no idea what God was going to do, where we were going, why we were doing this. And then I realized how open these people were. And I think that's what it means to be led by the Spirit, is that God's leading you to open people. He's trying to do that probably every day. And so I was so amazed by that. I said, we got to do this. I don't care what it takes. We're going to do it
These people are really open, like the Ethiopian eunuch. And so we have to help them. And so we got our Bible study involved, and a number of those people, got about a dozen people at North River here involved. Susan Karma was fantastic. Steve Schock's not here today. It's fantastic. He's been on calls twice a week for the last year, helping the people in Ellicottville. Once he was on the phone in his hospital bed. The nurse is checking his blood pressure and stuff. He's in the bed, and he's got his Bible. He's involved in the studies. So actually was Dwayne's mom, Margaret, from a hospital bed involved in some of these studies. It's just amazing sort of what's happened. And you're like, what are we doing here? And I think it was all being led by the Spirit of God. And God brings us some amazing places and amazing things. Let's have some of the other disciples share here in a minute.
And we want to thank all the disciples at North River for all they've done. And now we're going to have a few people share some of the lessons they've learned from the brothers and sisters in Ellicottville. Suzanne.
Hi, I'm so excited to share. I've known Roxanne since the early 90s for a long time, and have watched her go in and out of her relationship with God and struggle and love God. And the one thing I've learned is that God never gives up on us. He continues to pursue us and continues to love us. His love endures forever.
Amen. Dennis, Kiana.
Studying the Bible with the group in Ellicottville showed us that reaching people with God's word transcends geography, age, and life experiences, and is never without effect.
Amen.
Amen. And just building off of my wife's lessons with scripture, God's word does not return to him empty, but will accomplish what he desires and achieves the purpose for which he sent it.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Amen. Mark, Peggy.
I learned that God's Spirit moves in such incredible ways. He is not bound by distance, space, time, or anybody's sin. He always comes through.
Wow. And I've learned also from the group in Ellicottville that God's Spirit is alive and moving powerfully, and his word is very powerful as their hearts are responding and they're changing the hearts around them.
Great.
Go ahead.
I've learned that one, obedience matters. Christina's obedience and decision to come back to God was used by him to change the many people's lives around her.
That's right.
And I've learned that the love of Christ knows no limits of circumstances, and that when we get involved in sharing the love of Christ with others, we stand to gain.
Go ahead.
Wow. God planted a church in upstate New York as an answer to prayers, as an answer to my prayer, as an answer to Christina, to even unsaid prayers in their hearts. God was answering them in such a beautiful way. And it just makes me realize his word is not chained. He has so many people like these people that are searching and longing for answers. And I guess for me, I just wanted to thank the people that sacrificed so much. And I'm talking about the amount of calls and encouragement and use of scripture was just so powerful. But I thought I would end it with a quote that Bree said on the day she got baptized. It kind of captures the heart of the Ellicottville group, thanking you guys for everything. She said, when people think about 2020, many think of all the horrible things, but this was the most amazing year of my entire life. This was the year that I met Jesus. To follow Jesus is the greatest honor of my life, and to be his daughter, wow. Give me nothing but him, and I have everything.
Man, can we show those slides? They're getting them. We just want to show you a few little follow-up slides. We had people last week, and this had a huge impact on our Bible study group too. Last week, we had an outdoor service at East Cobb Park. About a dozen of our friends came out. And I'm sure it's an impact of this work right here. I think the East Cobb group's over there. You guys over there? Wave your hands over there. We have visitors this morning from East Cobb Park. Some came spontaneously walking down the path at East Cobb Park right over to our service and got involved in it spontaneously. I'm just telling you, God's working in incredible ways. We'll see when these slides come up, but I want to give a shout out to our group.
Yeah.
But I learned a number of things. This is Bree's baptism. This is Bill's baptism. That's Jim and Ginger's baptism. That's the midweek service. They meet out on a lake. They put two boats together. And I said, I can't complain about meeting on a boat, right? It's pretty biblical. And that's Jim and Ginger. They got married. Yeah. Bill and Christina, Jim and Ginger. Bill and Christina just got married a few months ago. Steve Schock actually officiated at the wedding. That's the group now. So I just want to say that God really wants people to be rescued. He really wants people to be delivered. He really wants people to be saved, saved from emotional issues like anxiety and depression, saved from social issues like isolation and loneliness. He wants them to be saved from physical issues, from spiritual issues, from shame and guilt and regret. God really wants to save us and people around us. That's on his heart. Not only that, I learned that people really, really want to be rescued. They really do really want to be saved. And I know we live in Atlanta, kind of the capital of comfort and the capital of convenience and the realm of religiosity. But people here in Atlanta still want to be rescued. They still want to be delivered. They still want to be saved. People right here in Atlanta. And so I think people in Atlanta, I know the place, I've lived here for 9 years, I know what it's like. But people in Atlanta here are as open as the Grand Canyon. That's just the truth. And we've met some of those people more and more even here lately. And so what God does is, because he wants to save people and people want to be saved, he opens up his word to us. He pours out his spirit on us. He sends angels, just like in the story of the Ethiopian, to help us so that people can be saved. And all he's looking for is a few Phillips. Not only Lawrence Phillips, but a few other Phillips. Okay? He wants all of us to help, to work with his word and work with his angels and work with his spirit and help people to be saved, just like this big group in Ellicottville. And so thank you for your prayers. Thank you for all your help. Thank God for all the things he's done and all the things he's going to do through us here in Atlanta and up in Ellicottville. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. You know, there's a very, very simple passage in the scriptures, and I'm going to say a word, a prayer for our Lord's Supper. It's just simple about Jesus. He came to seek and to save what was lost. If we want to be like him, it's got to be in our heart too. And I would just say, let's surrender. Let's surrender every morning, every day, and let God's Spirit live through us and have an impact like that to his glory and not to ours. So I'm going to say a prayer, and then we'll take the Lord's Supper together. Father, thank you for your incredible grace and love, compassion. Philip did not know where he was going. He didn't know what he was supposed to say when he got there. But Father, thank you that you give us your spirit to guide us. I pray we can be attentive and to, when we start speaking, that we'll proclaim who Jesus is as well. And I pray that as we take the bread that represents his body and as we drink this drink that represents his blood, that we will absolutely take into our own bodies his message of reconciliation, to join lost people back to you, Father, where they belong. Help us to have that in our hearts, not just as a ritual we do every Sunday, but really to become a part of who we are more and more. And we know, Father, that while his body was hanging on that cross and he was suffering pain, Father, we know that that is absolutely not the end of the story. And we know that when he comes back, he is going to straighten everything out. And until then, we just say, come, Lord Jesus. And we pray in your name. Amen.